his righteousness, and in all these things, whatever those things may be, will be added unto you. And the thought that is on my heart tonight is, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And you know, in the natural we have appetites. In the natural we have cravings, we have wantings. And God is wanting us to begin to take the emphasis off of the things that we are craving in the natural. Maybe it's cars, maybe it's food, maybe it's this, or maybe it's that. And God is saying that these things are secondary, and they must take a secondary place, and we must begin to ask in our heart and begin to crave out to God for the things that are pertinent to our spiritual relationship with God. And it is only as my spiritual relationship with God becomes, in an essence, and on a plane that is equal with Him, can He begin to rectify and begin to an administration within my being that begins to set things that are out of order in order.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And the thing that is pertinent to me tonight is, seek ye first the kingdom of God in all of His righteousness. And it doesn't say part of His righteousness. You know, we as Christians have our emphasis in the wrong places. We as Christians have our emphasis on the wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to line any Christian up alongside of that of the world, and you would begin to make a list of the things that they think are important to living in this life, yeah, and holding a relationship with one another, there would be very little difference.
Yes.
There would be very little differences. They would be basically all of the same things.
Mm-hmm.
And God is saying that this is out of order. There is a refining and a proper perspective that needs to be induced, yeah, into our being and induced into our life, yeah, that would bring about a change of our lifestyle.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Also, in one of the Gospels, I believe it says in Matthew, one of the chapters in Matthew, where God is talking basically about the eye being single. It's talking about the eye being single. And we Christians need to begin to labor before God, not that He reduced the fire that is around us, and not that He necessarily helps us in our financial need, but that He begins to impress upon us the importance of our spiritual appetites and our spiritual relationships and our spiritual perspective.
Mm.
Hallelujah. Begin to press God that He begin to create within us a hunger for the things that are of righteousness,
mm,
and that are pertinent to the walking circumspectly in the Spirit before God. And that's walking circumspectly in the Spirit before God condescends to affect the way that I walk and talk, and affects the ways that I am putting my emphasis on in the natural.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when we begin to do this, we begin to find ourselves being brought into a place to where the things of the natural no longer have such a demand upon our character, such a demand upon our behavior, and we begin to find ourselves being loose from what was normally considered the normal reaction for a human being in a given situation.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. So it is tonight that it seems like in the times that we are living, that we begin to press God for a spiritual appetite.
Amen.
That are pertinent to spiritual things.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We have a tendency as natural people to categorize that which is spiritual and that which is natural. And we have the means by which of putting that which is spiritual over here and that which is natural over here.
Yeah.
And at a prescribed time and in a prescribed place, we can be spiritual.
Mm.
But when we are taken out of that atmosphere and out of that relationship,
Jesus,
we walk back into that which is natural.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. And there is to be a coming together. There is to be a coming together of that spiritual perspective that we have over here, and that natural application that we have here, and adjoining together.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So that which is spiritual becomes that which is natural. Yes. Hallelujah. And the natural no longer affects that which is spiritual, but that which is spiritual begins to take control of that which is natural.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it comes within this vessel in the beginnings of the workings of God as we draw nigh unto God.
Yes.
Where it says in the Ephesians, where it talks about God, Christ, breaking down the middle wall of the partition. Hallelujah. And bringing together. Hallelujah.
Mm.
Those two, and making one new creation out of the two. Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah. And a release within that new creation.
Hallelujah.
I think it's very pertinent that we understand that the word that comes forth, that we need to embrace the word. We don't mean we hear the word, but we're not embracing the word. And we're not taking the word of the Lord that comes and bringing it into our bosom and clasping it whole. And it says, God, let it be unto me as according to thy word.
Yeah.
There needs to be a bringing forth and a receiving of the word, and an increasing of our spiritual appetite, that we might begin to be nourished in the spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How much time do we regulate for the things that are of the spirit?
Yeah.
What proportion of our time is on that which is spiritual and on that which is natural?
Yeah.
And to the degree that you can proportion it is to the degree that you can look at your own life or look at my life and understand to the degree that I'm growing. If I am placing 20% on the spiritual and I'm placing 80% on the natural, the natural is gaining in strength.
Amen.
and gaining and growing in its strength and its vitality, while the spiritual is being swamped and is being underfed, and it's losing, and it's a losing fight.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It's a losing fight. Hallelujah. So we need to begin to place our emphasis on our spiritual application as it is pertinent to our salvation.
Amen.
Thank you,
hallelujah.
Jesus.
Praise the Lord. And I want to admonish you, brethren, as Brother Sess comes to deliver the word. And I don't think it's a light thing that God would move upon a man a particular word for a particular people and bring him so many thousands of miles and to deliver a word that he might tickle our ears.
Yeah.
Or that we might go away, well, that was a nice word.
Mm.
But the word that God brings forth from a man that is sent of God is sent for the specific purpose of doing something.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Mm.
And if we don't receive the word, then it is as Jesus said unto Jerusalem. He says, you shall not see God or recognize God until you can say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the word, Lord. Hallelujah. So it is pertinent for us to begin to wet our spiritual ears tonight, that we might hear the spiritual word that is pertinent to our walk in God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And it's a blessing to see you all here tonight. And I trust that you will be blessed as Cecil brings what the Lord has laid on his heart for this evening. Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Yes. Thank God for this privilege of coming to you. We feel that when we come because God wants us to
Amen.
Come. Because there is a special word, a special deliverance, a special job to be done, a special encouragement to his people. And so we're just asking you to open your hearts to what the Lord would say to you, and never ever say some man told him, just say it is God, for it is God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We're going to look at the scripture here in Luke chapter 4. And there we're going to read verse 17. going down to 18. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and preach deliverance to the captive, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Praise God. He closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Praise God. Tonight, Jesus Christ is in this living room with us, and he's here for one purpose: to set at liberty those that are bruised, to heal the brokenhearted, and to declare deliverance to the captives. As I sat here, I could feel the burden of those who are bound in this congregation.
Hallelujah.
Of those who say, "Lord God, I want deliverance." And it is always "but." And I feel God saying to us tonight, every human being here can be delivered tonight before you go through that door. Mm-hmm. And not only can, but it is the perfect will of God that you be set free.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. From every bondage, I'm not talking about to be half free or quarter freed, but I mean those chains must be smitten and broken tonight, because Jesus said it and we believe it.
Amen.
You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is here. Can you imagine the man at the pool of Bethesda? 33 years he's been going there to get healed, and he had not been healed. The same Jesus that walked down to the pool and said, "Rise up and walk," is the same Jesus that is in here tonight, and he is speaking to us that you can be delivered by just reaching up with your hands and laying a hold on the Lord.
Amen.
Your natural hands won't do it. Your spiritual hands, in other words, your faith. You're going to have to believe God now that God wants you to be set free.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. We must then believe that we are not going to leave through this door tonight until every one of us is freed by the power of God from the things that are binding us. You believe that?
Amen.
Yes. You know why? Because Jesus said so. Amen. Because I did not prepare a message to come here to preach to you. Because I did not plan to come here and say this. Because Jesus wants me to say this. This is what I am saying. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that you must be free for many reasons. Because it is getting very, very, very late. And if you don't get free very soon, you probably will never be freed again. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying God is saying that you must look about being free now. Because it is God's will that the church, the body of Christ, should be set free at this time from every bondage into which we have walked ourselves into. God never put any bondage on us.
No.
It's we who, through our folly and through our own ways, have gone and got ourselves bound in various different things. One day I asked God, said, "Lord, how could I beat the devil at his game?" The Lord said to me, want nothing. Want nothing. Want nothing. Aha. It's because of what I want why the devil can tempt me. If I don't want anything, there's nothing for him to tempt me with.
Hallelujah.
All I want is what Jesus Christ wants for me, and therefore I have cut off the arm of the devil that he's been using to tempt me. It's very simple. Yet it's hard to do. Hard to do. Until you can make that surrender to God, you cannot come to the place where you don't want everything that you see. You know, it's amazing to take the little ones into the shopping center. And as they get in, they see this, give me this, give me that, give me the other. They don't really want it. But at the moment, because they see it, they think they want it. And there is a spirit within the body, within the group, within the church, that is causing you to want things that you really don't want. You have desires in your heart that is cutting against Jesus Christ being number one.
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ is not number one. At least in most cases in this living room. And it is a sad situation. For I feel the spirit of lethargy, the spirit of sleep, the spirit of deadness. It's like you have something and you cover it over. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Do you understand what I'm saying? And in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm speaking against this spirit of lethargy. I'm speaking against this spirit of deadness. I'm speaking against this spirit of sleep. Hallelujah. For it is the spirit of death. And it's trying to get you down into a place where you just said, I give up, I don't care anymore. There is that spirit in here, and it must die tonight.
Amen.
It must leave the brethren tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Paradasacha. Yeah, Lord Jesus. There is the spirit of sinfulness. Hallelujah. How am I going to describe that? The spirit of sinfulness, which says, I might as well do so. And I might as well do so. For God knows that I can't do better. It's a spirit of sinfulness. And the devil has sucked the life out of the ones who feel this spirit. And you have allowed him to. The only way that you will regain your life is to call upon the name of the Lord tonight.
Amen.
And said, Lord God, I repent of having allowed such a spirit into my life.
Amen.
You know, a lot of us want to point at the devil. That's a bad one. That's the devil over there. He's doing that. He's that devil can do nothing to you that you doesn't allow. You have to allow him. Hey?
He deceives you.
Yes, but you're not supposed to be deceived because you have the Holy Ghost. If you were trusting the Holy Ghost, he would stop you from being deceived.
Amen.
Amen. You look at this and you say, oh, what a beautiful flower. And the Holy Ghost said, no, don't touch it. It's not really beautiful. And the Holy Ghost will reveal to you what it is. Amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I know a young man who was involved with a girl, and one night he dreamt, he was praying to God, and he dreamt that he saw the girl, and all of a sudden she turned into a monster with long claws. And he saw what was inside of her. It turned out that she was indeed a monster. She did have that spirit within her. I am saying, beloved brethren, that we need to begin to trust God. It is by the hands of faith that we reach to heaven and bring down heaven to us. Don't you understand? I'm not saying you're holy and you say, oh, I'm so holy, I'm doing everything right. Jesus Christ came to die to save sinners. And Jesus Christ is not casting out sinners. He's casting their sins out of them and making them saints. He's in the business of sanctizing sinners. That's what he's doing. He's sanctifying the body. You know, the scripture said, the body which is the church, he wash it with the washing of the water of the word. Isn't that right?
Washing
of the water by the word. Yet he might present it blameless. Do you understand what that is saying? Mm-hmm. That means that he saved you, then he washed you afterwards. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ saved you out of the sin, and then he keeps on washing you. So there is a sanctification process that keeps going on.
Amen.
Keeps going on.
Amen.
And everything you do, everywhere you walk, that you are being sanctified by the continuous washing of the Spirit of God. Amen. This is what God's saying. So Jesus Christ does not only redeem you, but he continues to redeem you. He follows you up with redemption. There's no excuse. No excuse. Because Jesus Christ follows you daily with redemption. Every time you slip, he gives you a right move, and he shows you the way. And when you don't make it, it's because you don't want to.
Hallelujah.
We need to begin to search ourselves.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. We begin to search ourselves. Praise be to God. And sometimes, as you say, he deceives us. You know what I discovered? Sometimes we want to be deceived.
Yeah.
We want to be deceived. Now that's a peculiar thought, but it's a truth that sometimes the brethren want to be deceived. Jesus Christ said he came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to set at liberty those that are bruised. He's talking about those who are bruised by sin, those who are bruised by error, those who are bruised by falling. You don't fall because you want to fall. You fall through accident. But Jesus said he came to heal those. Now, if you're not healed, it's not his fault, because Jesus is standing here tonight with the healing and the deliverance, and there's not one soul that will come out of here who feels that you have a spirit that is causing you to sin. You won't go through that door with that spirit, because you came in here tonight and God has set a trap for every spirit that is not of God in here tonight.
Amen.
You understand what we're talking about?
I'd like to witness to what you're saying.
And praise God.
Getting off the freeway and coming around the corner, I thought, you know, I thought the very same thing, that I'm just laying there, giving up. You know, I'm just too tired to fight. I don't want to fight anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Amen. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. We felt the Spirit when you came in. That there was that spirit, and that there is that spirit, and it is a lying spirit.
Amen.
It's a lie. The reason he's lying to you, because he sees you're going to win.
Amen.
And he wants to cut you down by his lying spirit. Praise be to God. But God said that at the end of time, every human being whose names, help me, are written in the book Read it for me, sister. You read that Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. At a certain period of time in the history of the world, every human being whose names are written in the book of life shall be delivered.
12:1?
Yes.
Mom, it's just before Hosea.
Hallelujah.
After Ezekiel.
Somebody read.
And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble,
mm-hmm.
such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time thy people shall be delivered.
Mm.
Every one that shall be found written in the book.
In the book.
Thank you,
amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise be to God.
Amen.
There is more trouble in the world than there was ever since God made this world up to this time. And I'm saying it has not got to the fullness yet. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse, brethren.
Hallelujah.
And if you cannot run with the footmen, there's no way you're going to run with horses.
No.
You hear me? What's happening now is just the beginning of the sorrows. If devils are attacking you now, this is only the beginning. You haven't seen anything yet. But as the church rises in power, the satanic forces will also rise in power.
Yes.
But God will give us power over, help me, the power of the enemy. Come on, let's get that done. It's a promise of God. He said, and I give you power over the power of the enemy. That's one of the last words that Jesus said before he was taken away into the heavenlies. He said, I give you power over devils to cast out devils, and I give you power over the power of the enemy. So no matter what spirit is hurting you, no matter what circumstances are hurting you, you must realize that you have the power over that power.
Amen.
You understand? When Adam lost, before Adam lost, God had given him dominion and power over all things that move upon the face of the earth. Did you hear that? That means everything good and bad, Adam had the power over it. When Adam lost to Satan, Satan took the power from him. When Satan lost to Jesus, that power was again given back.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
And so the dominion and the power is ours. And God said the time will come when we will take the kingdom. Satan won't give it to us, you know. We are going to take it from him. And God is saying now to his saints, in Jesus Christ, you do have power greater than the power of the enemy. Have you seen the power of Satan? You look around and you see how bad Satan is. You see all the things he's doing. Yesterday he shot down Indira Gandhi, and he's causing great bloodshed and war in not only in India but all over the world. He's aiming to come to America to turn our country upside down also. Hallelujah.
I got a question.
Yes.
I heard on TV where they have taken an animal's heart and put it in a baby infant.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Would that be devil's work?
Well, it's man's work for sure. You know what I mean?
Well,
it's man's work, and it's man's it's man's mind, and it's humanism, and it's their way of doing things. As a matter of fact, they were waiting for years for just such an opportunity.
Yeah.
They didn't want to put a human heart in there. They wanted to put a baboon's heart to see what would happen. It's an experiment.
Yeah.
You see, but God said there would be signs in the world, signs in the heavens, signs on earth, you know, and then distress of nations. So we do expect all manner of things to happen. All kinds of things to happen. And it's happening, and it's getting worse, and it's getting worse, and it's getting worse. And this year, they're going to kill more babies than they killed last year, and they're aiming to kill more next year. And this is how the world is going.
You mean with abortions?
Yes. I mean, every time the man-child was coming forth, babies were being killed. Every time Satan suspected that humanity was going to rise to a point where it could overcome him, he started killing the children. In the time when Moses should be born, Satan sent through his servant Pharaoh, and they killed all the children. And God showed us that they killed the kids, but they missed the one they wanted to kill.
Hallelujah.
Again, they turn around, and in the time of Jesus Christ, trying to kill him, they kill all the kids, and they miss the one that they wanted to kill. You think it's going to be any different this time?
No.
They're killing the kids not because they of the reasons they are giving, but because their boss, Satan, says that he hears that a people is coming forth who are going to take the kingdom from him and overcome him. And he said, let me start killing all the babies from now. But he's too late. He's going to miss everyone that God has ordained to stand up in the end time, and he won't be able to kill them. See what I'm saying? So we are talking about a God who has given us one great promise, that every one of us will be delivered. Everyone whose names are written in the book. Hallelujah. Your names are in the book of life if you accept Jesus as your Savior. Because no man can accept Jesus as his Savior unless God draw him. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah,
see, your names are in the book of life, so you don't need to worry about whether you're going to survive or whether Satan is going to overcome you. He cannot. God has ordained that a people should overcome the devil at this time.
Amen.
In our time, in the 1980s.
Amen.
You understand? And this is what must happen. And there's no way that Satan can stop it. And Satan cannot stop you. What we need to do is begin to look up to God and turn our thoughts to God in such a way that we will be able to break the yokes that bind us.
Yes.
For this is the will of God.
Jesus.
This is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That every yoke be broken. That every prisoner be set free. That God shall reign in his body and in his people.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So we must begin to think positive according to the will of God. We have got to begin to think that Jesus Christ said so. Therefore, no powers on earth or in hell can change it. Because Jesus said it. This is the kind of thinking, it takes a one-track mind to do a good job at thinking. Hallelujah. Definitely. You know why? So many things around you that are saying, no, 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 that's not so. Circumstances all around you are telling you the very opposite to what the Bible is saying to you.
Yes.
And to what God is saying to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You are being defeated under the foot of Satan, and you are saying, I am a conqueror. Amen. I am a conqueror because Jesus Christ said I am. You don't have to feel like a conqueror. You don't have to see conquering. You have to believe.
Amen.
And God said, if you believe it, then it shall be so unto you. Can you understand what that means?
Mm-hmm.
You don't believe with your eyes. Your eyes are seeing the very opposite of what Jesus is saying. You don't believe with your ears. Because your ears might be hearing the very opposite of what faith is saying. But you believe God with your heart. And when you said, Jesus said so, therefore it is so, you are going against everything else that you see, that you hear, that you think, because Jesus said so. Don't you understand?
Amen.
Don't you understand the principle? You know, the Bible said that God calls that which is not, not something that doesn't exist, as though it were. And then it was. Come on now, hear me. Here is Jesus saying, there is a beautiful golden jar standing right here. You don't see any. But Jesus said, there is a beautiful golden jar standing right here. And you begin to believe it. And you said, Jesus, I don't see it. Jesus, I can't feel it. Jesus, I can't hear it. But I believe it.
Amen.
And then some scientist comes to you and says, well, why could you believe such a stupid thing? Can't you see that nothing is there? You said, I believe it because Jesus said it.
Amen.
It takes a one-track mind to really be able to hold on to basic truth. You see, the point is that God's word is creative. God's word is creative. And when the word was spoken, surely there was no jar there. For God says that he speak of that which is not, as though it were.
Hallelujah.
Don't you understand me? The deliverance is not in you at this moment. But when the word is spoken, the deliverance is created. So God is not only a creator, but he has given us a creative word.
Amen.
The word of God. What God said, it is spirit.
Amen.
And it is life. Come on now, sister. The word of God is spirit. And it is life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Here comes a woman. Her kneecap was split in three pieces. Oh, this is a fact. Hard fact. A piece of bone split in three pieces. Her shin bone was split 4 inches down, wide open. She had an accident. Her car ran into a pole. And her knee went right into under the, and they had to cut the thing to get her out. And there she is with a broken leg pain. Reality we're talking about. Hear me? Reality. The doctor said, we must amputate this leg. We need to cut the leg off. The Spirit of God said in our ear, do not cut the leg off. It will be healed. Okay, now you hear that your leg will be healed, but that didn't stop the pain. Most of you women know what pain really is. So I need not explain pain. I mean the pain was so horrible that she couldn't help herself. All right, but she heard a word. Don't amputate your leg. And she said to the doctor, doctor, no, I will not allow you to cut my leg off. The doctor said, you are a fool. He said, now when your doctor stand up and tell you are a fool, it really goes deep. It hurts. You are a fool. You're going to lose not only your leg but your life. Get out of the hospital. And they carted her out. She went home to find a raving husband. Remember now, you know, all this is coming against her, plus the pain. We're talking about a situation of reality as against something that you cannot see. But the more they rail up against her, it's the more she put her trust in God. Amen. So they brought her to the meeting. Hallelujah. I remember kneeling down before the leg, putting my hand on the leg like this, saying, in the name of Jesus, be healed. The sister jumped up and she danced around the room. And she came back and sat down, and the pain got worse. You hear me? That pain got worse. Hallelujah. The pain was so severe all night that she could not sleep. Crying in pain, her husband cursing, you got those quacks, those fools to deceive you. They sent her to the doctor next morning. And what happened? No broken leg.
Oh, praise God.
Amen.
No bones broken. The doctor shamed, confused, x-ray picture is there, and yet it is not there. And you know what God did? God made the leg still swollen. He made the leg still swollen just to test her and to confound them. Blessed be to God. Amen. We are talking about believing in God against all odds.
Amen.
God said, whatsoever ye desire, pray, believing, and it shall be done.
Amen.
What other word on earth can abrogate or prevent that word of God? When God speaks, it is eternal.
Amen.
My God. And I am saying the eternal God, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, is in this little living room tonight. And He's here to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captive free.
Hallelujah.
Believe it.
Thank you, Lord. Praise
Amen.
All you have to do is to believe it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Believe it. Jesus has not left His creation alone. Jesus has not left us. He says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And I want you to understand, brethren, that this same Jesus Christ is with us. Now, what I want you to do, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want you to begin to think of everything that you want God to do for you tonight. For everything that you want God to do for you tonight, He will do. Tonight.
Thank you,
Jesus. I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm saying tonight that God is about ready to do everything you can believe Him for. Anything you want.
Hallelujah.
Just believe God for it now. Halabasha. And it shall be done.
Amen.
According to your faith in Christ Jesus. The Bible said, when he had finished saying the words, I came to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captive free, he closed the book. That was the word for the hour.
Amen.
The word for this hour tonight that God is speaking to his people is that anything you desire in Christ Jesus tonight, it will be done by the Father. Hallelujah. And you know, some people try to pump up God, as it were. Let us pump it up, let us whip it up, let us do something to make it sound good and solemn. It's no necessity. You know, just believe God and said, thank you Jesus, and it is done. That's all we need. You know, that's all we need. If you believe that there has been a spirit in your life that has been disturbing you and preventing you from overcoming, you just ask God to destroy the power of that spirit tonight, to cast it out and bind it and deliver you, and it shall be done. Hallelujah. And I am going to ask you to let us pray with you one by one. Every soul who has a need, let us pray with you. Praise be to God. I don't feel that it's necessary to even go further with a word, with the word. I believe the word has done its perfect work. I believe that the hand to reach God and to touch the hem of his garment is the hand of faith. Whatever you believe tonight, it's going to be done. Remember now, you might have a tall order. No matter how tall your order is, I want you to place your orders right now. Just tell God what you want right now. Hallelujah. Just tell God what you want right now, and I'm going to pray for you one by one.
Amen.
Hallelujah. As you call to God, and it shall be done. Now, when you place your order with God and you believe it,
thank you, Jesus.
I want you to come right in the center here and kneel right here. Hallelujah. Praise be to God.
Hallelujah.
Yes, just kneel down there, sister. All right, praise God. Hallelujah. Kora mashata shama hasta bahandai. Kora mama. Yamata. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Bring to pass your word tonight, Lord God. Bring to pass your mighty word on behalf of your child. And break the yoke.